everybody. It's good to see everybody in the room. If you are visiting here, I want to echo what everyone has said so far. Welcome. It's great to have you. And I'm sorry to disappoint, but I'm what's left. This is what you get. Sorry about that. If you do have your Bibles, do me a favor and turn to the book of Luke. We're going to be in Luke chapter 15 today. My name is Brent Stevens. The man in the middle up here, Brent Maloney, was part of our worship team this morning. Two different Brents, so don't be too confused. My name is Brent Stevens. I am one of the pastors here at the church. And back in 2008, we planted this church with absolutely zero resources and zero friends. I moved to this area. I didn't know one soul in this city, but I am one of those crazy people. My wife and I, we believe God called us to this city to plant this church. And this church you're sitting in right now, and of course there's probably 100 people outside getting this event ready as well. This church started with 7 people in the living room of my home. And let me tell you what has happened since then. I am a man who believes that God is not dead. Now, I know in our world, see, I'm telling you, if you're a guest here, if you don't know anything about church, just get ready. We are a crazy bunch of people. You are sitting next to crazy people. In our world, in our culture, we live in this day and age when there is a real a movement that is anti-all things God, anti-all things, especially Christianity. You find it in the realms of education. You find it in the realms of intellectualism and scholarship. And you find it certainly through all kinds of popular media and satellite radio and television. We live in a world today that is rapidly saying God is of the past. We don't need him. We don't need religion in general. We don't want any part of it. We think we can chart a pretty good course forward without him. We are not of those people. We believe here at Four Points that God is very much real. He is very much the creator of all things. Now, I realize some of you may be coming in here today saying, no, we come from nothing and we're going nowhere. There's no real human dignity or purpose. It's just survival of the fittest. But we believe we bear the image of a God who created all things and loves us and made us in his image and likeness. Therefore, humanity does have dignity, does have value, and does have worth. And therefore, God's ways are the best ways for us to realize human dignity, human value, and human worth. And today in Luke chapter 15, I want to take just a few minutes to talk to you about what we believe the Bible says that looks like. We believe that there is God, and he does love us. He loves us so much. Every other philosophy, every other ideology, every other religion you will ever search out or try to understand says you had better stay on your tippy toes. You had better cross all your T's and dot all your I's. You had better do everything you can to work your way to God or it's over for you when you stand before him. Christianity, that is not the God of the Christian Bible. The God of the Christian Bible is the only God, and Christianity is the only faith where God, because of his great love, he comes all the way to where we are. We couldn't come to him, so he came all the way to us by sending his son. We kind of love him around here. His name's Jesus. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he did what you and I could not do. He lived a perfect life. Now, most of us in here, we think we're pretty good people. When my neighbor says, hey, can I borrow the lawnmower? I say, the code is 007 on the garage door. The keys are in it. I'm a good person. But the reality is, none of us in this room would say we're perfect. In fact, we would probably say what the Bible says, that we've all done wrong in our lives. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He lived a perfect life that you and I could never live. And this is how God comes all the way to us through Jesus Christ. All our, that's what we've been singing about and celebrating. All our sin is paid for, and we can stand before God in right relationship again because He loves us. He sent Jesus for us. He's come all the way to where we are. And that is, as Christians have always said, good news. It is the gospel that we believe in, that we hope in, that we desperately need. And this morning, whether you've been out of church, whether you've never come to church, whether you're a regular here, we invite, God invites all of us into this greater story, this greater narrative that is His story that He is telling through His scripture to us. We can be part of what He's doing because He's come all the way to us. In Luke chapter 15, even if you've not really ever been in church before, you've probably heard of this story. It's called The Prodigal Son, and it's been remade into secular movies. It's got a very powerful theme to it, and the theme is the gospel. You see, all throughout Scripture, this same story is told over and over. And today we're going to make it very personal because the Bible makes it very personal. But let me just try to give you a grand scale that the Bible presents from Genesis all the way to Revelation. See, God starts out, He's good, He's all powerful, He's sovereign, and He creates the world, and He creates Adam and Eve, man and woman. He creates them in His image and in His likeness. He places them in the garden and He blesses them. Everything God creates is good. He blesses Adam and Eve in the garden. He says, be fruitful and multiply because God is good. He has good things for His people. And this is what the Bible would call home. When we are in relationship with God, when we are living under His blessings, when we are living according to the things that He tells us to do, the ways He tells us to live, but there's a problem. For some reason, our first parents, Adam and Eve, and all of us who have come behind them, we are all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, and all of us have, like Adam and Eve did, we have chosen to leave home. God creates, He gives us all of this good, and we say, you know what? We think we've got some good ideas too. And God, I know that you're there and I know you're real and I know that there has been real blessing that I've experienced in this home that you've created. But I kind of think that my ideas may be just as good as yours. And we begin to wander away from home. We begin to wander away from this good God who loves us, created us, and has blessing for us. And we move into what the Bible would call exile. And it happens over and over. This is the human story. This is not unique to you and I personally. This is not unique to our nation of America. This is not unique to any place in the world. This is the story of God and humanity over and over. And we have 6,000 years of recorded history right here in this book. And over and over and over, it's the same story. God gives. There's blessing. There's life. And we begin to move away from God, and we begin to say, there's a lot of stuff out here I need to explore, I need to search out, I think there's a way out there that I can find that's my very own. We begin to move away from God and His ways, and we begin to make our own path. We begin to say, God, I don't want to listen to your commands. I think I can make some pretty good commands of my own. And this is what the Bible calls sin. And sin leads to exile. It leads to being away from home. It leads to away from the blessings of God into what the Bible would call very strongly curses. Now, many of you, maybe you grew up in church, you haven't been in a while. Maybe you'd say, sin, that doesn't sound like sin. That my granddaddy told me about, sin is when you dance. Sin is when you smoke a cigarette behind the building so your wife doesn't see. Sin is when you drink too much, or sin is when you cheat on your wife. And of course, those things are not good things. Those things are sin. But the greater picture of sin the Bible presents is that God, who created this world and us, created a set of boundaries for us to live in. And within these boundaries are blessing and life and fruitfulness. Sin is anytime we choose not to stay within the boundaries that God has set, but when we choose to step out of those bounds, we choose to make our own way. And of course, that's when you can start listing the sins that humans are engaged in everywhere around the world. We begin in home, in the garden with God, and we move into exile. But here's something that is good news. Every time people move away from God, they choose their own way instead of God's way. That leads to curses. It leads to exile. It leads to war. It leads to famine. It leads to all the bad things that we see still in our world today. God always speaks into exile and brings his people back to home. And I want you to know, collectively, we live, most of you have kids. You came here because there's snow outside, and Anna and Elsa are going to be here, and praise God for Anna and Elsa. We look out in this world that we live in, we are living in a period. Sociologists are calling America now a post-Christian nation. Collectively as a nation, we were founded upon Judeo-Christian principles and morals. We were founded within the boundaries of what God said was good. And look at history. We have flourished. God has been with our nation. In our schools, till just a few years ago, we started with prayer. God is in our pledge. And although many now have taken the Ten Commandments off the wall, the entire system of Western law is built upon the commandments found that were given by God to Moses in the Old Testament. You can't divorce the blessings from our country with the ways of God, but we're quickly moving away. And you and I that have kids, come on, collectively, this is a scary day to raise children. Something's got to happen. And the good news is when people move away from God and into exile, God is calling and God is yearning and God wants his people to come back home so we can experience the blessings of relationship with him once again in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you this morning, when you turn on the news and you become afraid, there is hope. And hope is not found in a new government or a new political party or a new educational system. Hope is found one place: God bringing his people back away from exile and back into the promises of fruitfulness and flourishing that we can look into history and see have worked. But now let's make this personal, because the same principle that works in nations and works throughout history works in families. It works for individuals. Let's read Luke 15 together. By the way, I tend to be a little long-winded. Sorry. We're going to try to get you out of here quick. Beginning in verse 11 of chapter 15, and he said, and this is Jesus speaking, God's Son, who became flesh and lived as we live, lived perfectly, and then died in our place for our sin. This is his words. This is what he says, and it's an example to us. He says, there was a man who had two sons. Now, in this parable, there are two great stories, two great principles that we can learn about God from. We're not going to talk about the second son today. He's the religious guy who thinks that God owes him something because he follows all the rules. You're not going to find people like that here. And we're not going to talk about that son today. We're going to talk about this first son, the younger son. In verse 12, the younger of the sons said to him, the father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. Now, those of you with older children, you know this is the way of the world. The young son's got some ideas. Prom's coming up. The young son has got, he wants to taste and touch and see. He wants to get out there and sow his oats. He wants to get out there and see what the world's about. And he wants dad to pay for it. And everybody that has a teenager in here, you know what? The Bible is true. I came in here thinking the Bible was true. The Bible is true. And come on, we were all there once. My dad's sitting on the front row down here. Dad, I need a limo for prom. Why wouldn't you pay for it? I mean, this is my prom, man. We all want Dad to pay for our experience. And the younger of them said to his father, give me my share of the property. Give me my inheritance. You are a good man. You've lived well. You have an inheritance to give. So give me what is mine. Give me what you owe me. Let me run out and do my thing. So the father divided his property between them. So he's got two sons. He goes through everything he has, and he gathers it up into one inheritance, and he splits it, and he gives each son the inheritance. And not many days later, verse 13 says, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. So here's what the younger son does. The younger son says, now I have resources. Now I can do whatever I want. I've been living at home, and he was blessed at home. We're going to see later how he begins to remember home. His father had created a good place for him, but now his father has given him his inheritance. And now the son says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and I'm going to see the world. I'm going to touch everything I can touch. I'm going to taste everything I can taste. I'm going to see, as Solomon, the wisest man in the world, said in the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, he said, I'm going to see what there is to do under the sun for man to enjoy. The Bible says that this young son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property, his inheritance, and reckless living. Now, here's what you're going to want to do, because here's what we all do. We're going to say, wow, see, that guy went out there and he became a drunk and he became a drug addict and he's probably shooting up heroin, and I'm nothing like that kid. But the Bible talks about when this young son took everything his father had given him. He goes out and he doesn't live like his father. His father who created a good life. His father who created fruitfulness and abundance. His father who created protection, care, and love. He knew how his father lived. He knew the things his father did to bring that kind of life. But he didn't live like his father. He chose to live his own way. And come on, there's lots of ways we choose to do that as people. Let me ask you this morning, as this young son soon realized, as he took what the father gave him and began to live recklessly with it. I want to do this. I want that. I want to touch this. I want to taste that. I want to go. I want to do. There are no rules, no boundaries to hold me back. Only the commandments I make for myself. Let's go. How many of you knew that was fun? For a while. But as his inheritance runs out, exile becomes a very real, it's not just an ideology anymore. This is not just shop talk with people at Starbucks. This is real life. We live recklessly. We choose our ways over God's ways. And this is the picture of what happens to both people groups, nations, kingdoms, and individuals. He squandered in reckless living, in verse 14, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. Here's a young man whose father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. This is a young man who had experienced life, experienced blessing at home with his father. He had never known need. He had never known want. But now he's gone away from home. He's gone away from his father. He's not lived like his father. He has squandered every good gift, life, breath, sight, the five, every good gift the father could give, he squandered them on whatever he wanted. And he wakes up one day and he's far away from the Father, far away from the goodness that the Father gives. He's in exile. He is among pigs. And many of you this morning, you can relate. Many of you are in situations. Some of you, you've bought into all this Dawkins nonsense. You've bought into all this scientific. You bought into, well, the History Channel says aliens are really behind all of this stuff. Let me ask you something. How's that working for you? Those of you who have said, well, this God stuff, that's just old school. That's just nonsense. That can't be true today. We're too sophisticated today. How's it working? How's atheism functionally working for you in your family, in your life? Do you feel that dignity that atheism brings to you? There is no God. I can do what I want. Oh, we come from nothing and we're going nowhere. How does that work in the decisions that you're making? How does that work when you're trying to teach your son or your daughter anything? Because all your words are hollow, without meaning, without purpose, because there's nothing backing it up. You're a bank account with no money in it. You got nothing to withdraw. You talk about the human spirit and human power, and let's go. Why? We're an accident. We're primordial ooze that's just evolved enough to realize we're not important, so we die. That's a great life to pass down to your kids. How's atheism working for you? I got hope for you this morning. Just a few weeks ago, we had a skeptic, an atheist come in, been an atheist a long time. I was just talking about Jesus. He said he felt the light of the gospel come in and change his mind just like that. And I pray that happens to you this morning. There is something better to give your life to than bankrupt ideologies of men, by the way, that aren't proven. So that's a faith step. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine, exile always comes. When we step outside the commandments of God, when we step away from the blessings of God, when we do what we want instead of what he has called us to do, of who he has called us to be. And he was longing to be fed with the pigs. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise. I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your servants. And he arose and came to his father. I love this part in the story because this is a part, everybody in this room that knows Jesus, this is something that we haven't just read and understood. This is something we've experienced. The Bible says that the young man came to his senses. He realized his past that he had chosen for himself were bankrupt. There was nothing there. It led to depression and anxiety and foolishness and a feeling of exile, a feeling of being away, an emptiness. And some of you, you walked in this room and you may not have understood anything else I've said, but when I say emptiness, you know what that means. I've been there. This story is my story. I was 21 years old when I met Jesus. And I wasn't looking for him, but he was looking for me. That's how much he loves us. He comes, but we think it's about us moving back to him, but as we're going to see in a second, it's really about him coming down to us. That's how much he loves us. I was a PK. I was raised in a preacher's home. I knew right from wrong. I knew what the Bible said, and I said, I don't care, and I don't want it. I got a taste. I got a touch. I got to go out there and see what this world has to offer. And it didn't take long. I was 15 when that whole thing started, and at 21 years old, I ended up in a really bad place. And I'll never forget the overwhelming feeling. When I came to my senses, when I realized all this stuff that I thought was setting me free was only leading me further and further into slavery. All this stuff that I thought was bringing joy and hope to my life and I was doing it my way only brought destruction and pain and despair. And I'm not going to tell you where I was, but my knees hit a cold concrete floor one afternoon and I prayed this prayer and I said, God, if you're real, if you're there, I've been doing it my way and my way sucks. From now on, I want to do things your way. And I knew enough to know the name of Jesus, and I called out to that name, and I said, save me, the way I'm doing this is not working. Can I tell you something? I didn't deserve for him to hear my prayer, but he did. He came all the way down to where I was, and when my knees picked up from that cold concrete floor, I was what the Bible calls a new creation. At 21 years old, Jesus Christ saved. I was outside of the boundaries of God. I was in exile, but I came to my senses and I realized there was no place for me. And so I cried out to God and he heard my cry. And at 21 years old, he made me a new person. I got a new heart. I got a new life. I got new desires. New things were happening in me. And when I picked myself up off that floor, just a quick, simple prayer, I have never been the same. And I look at my life now. Have you seen my wife? I have a marriage I don't deserve. I step back into God's boundaries. He gave me the access in Jesus to come back home. I step back inside his boundaries. I've got a marriage I don't deserve. I got 4 kids I don't deserve. I got a family. Is it perfect? Of course it's not perfect. We're human beings, but it is something I don't deserve. I'm part of a family I don't deserve. God's people, God's church. I'm seeing God move and minister in people's lives. I'm seeing drug addicts leave drugs. I'm seeing marriages that have no hope be restored and healed. I'm seeing atheists come to faith in Christ Jesus. I don't deserve this life that he's given me. I don't deserve to live where I lived. Drive what I drive. I deserve none of it, but it is all given to me in Christ Jesus by stepping back inside the boundaries of the way he has called me to live in his Son, Christ Jesus. I deserve nothing. I get everything in him. Watch. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, here's the thing. See, it's like we're coming back to him, but here's what's really happening. He was coming back to his father. He was coming back home. And while he was still a long way off, see, some of you right now even, you don't know what, but you're sensing something. The Bible says, while we're a long way off, God the Father, while he's a long way off, the Father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Some of you think, I can't go to God. He's going to be mad at me. That's what people have always felt when they're in exile. Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. God comes looking for them. They hide. They're in the bushes. God says, where are you? Some of you think God's an angry old man that just wants to punish you, wants to hurt you. God doesn't want to hurt you. God has blessing for you. God has purpose for you. God has real human dignity for you. But you don't know what I've done, Brent. I don't know what you've done, but I know your father. And he's on the porch. And when he sees you coming, he runs. He doesn't wait for you to get to him. He runs all the way to you. And what does he do? He embraces him and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I am no longer, he goes through his speech, right? We all have our speech when we come to God. He said, Father, I am no longer worthy to be your son. I've sinned against you. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, Bring the best robe we have in the house. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate, for this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. And they begin to celebrate. I don't know what you're thinking right now as you sit in this room and you watch some young guy on a stage talk about God. But here's one thing I know, and here's one thing that no one can ever take from me. When I realized my way was not the way that was going to bring life and blessing and purpose, God came to where I was, and he changed me. And there is not a skeptic, not an atheist on the face of the earth that can talk me out of when I met God through Jesus Christ. I am not the same. And if you're not a Christian in the room, you're going to be around people all day long who are going to look at you, who are going to love you, who have spent tens of thousands of dollars just to bless you. We started with nothing. We had no resources. God has given us not only this, he's given us land on Highway 92. It's paid for. He didn't just say, here you go, here's a more. He gave it to us. It's ours. We're going to start a building project. So God has given us resources we want to spend on. God is generous to us. We want to be generous to you. We want to love you today. And there's only one reason that's happening. It's because we are a people who have been loved. We're not a perfect people, but we are a people who have been loved through Jesus Christ by the God of the universe. And we are experiencing this thing that the Bible calls home, blessing, purpose, fulfillment, safety. And we want to make sure we pass it down to our kids, and we want to make sure that this gospel, this news of salvation is given to any person in the world who will hear us proclaim it. And this morning, I hope that you're in this room this morning and you have heard this good news. And when you look at your life and when you look in the mirror, if you can see exile, home is waiting. It's not as far off as you think. God loves you. Jesus died in your place for your sin. There is no excuse. There is nothing in your world that can separate you from God. But if you trust in Jesus Christ this morning and allow him to bring you back into his loving arms, to put a robe on your back and a ring on your finger, you belong to him in Jesus Christ. In a moment, right now, I'm going to pray a prayer. I would like for everyone in this room to repeat this prayer out of me. Brent, I don't like you. I don't like this church, and I'm not praying. Just pray the prayer, all right? You don't have to mean it. Just pray the prayer. We're all going to pray this prayer out loud, but here's the deal. Something's going on in you. If you've got this longing for home all of a sudden you look out of this world and you can see where we're going. It's not good. It's exile. In your life, you can see. You can see what trajectory you're on right now. I'm not an alcoholic. Are you home? If you sense exile, when we pray this prayer, if you mean it, if something in your heart is you're saying these words after me, you will experience the same thing I experienced at 21 years old. And you walked in here one way, but if you mean this prayer when you pray it, you're going to walk out a totally new person. You may have walked in here in exile. You can walk out of here at home, back in relationship with God because of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're going to do this again because I want everybody to be on the same page. Father in heaven, I have heard your gospel today. And honestly, It sounds too good to be true. But something in me is drawn to this. I know I am a sinner. I'm not living the way you want me to live. But I have heard today that you forgive sinners. That Jesus Christ died in my place for my sin. And if I trust in him, you'll bring me home, back into your blessing, back into your favor. And Father, this morning, I do believe in Jesus. I do believe he saves me from my sin. And I believe that you're running towards me right now. May I feel your arms wrap around me. May I feel you put a robe on me. May I feel you invite me back into your family. Through your son, Jesus. I believe this. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.